fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, listen, I got to tell you, I'm all messed up. I'm all messed up. And can I tell you why I'm all messed up? Today is the 3rd of July. And something really rare is going to happen tomorrow. Tomorrow is the 4th of July, which is the actual holiday. But we have now, in our society, our government has made all holidays on Mondays. You guys remember that, right? And you now celebrate the 3-day weekend on Monday. So if the 4th of July is on the 2nd, then they celebrate it on Monday, right? You guys are tracking with me, right? It's different because the 4th of July is on a weekend. It is tomorrow. So I'm trying to figure out which day do we celebrate the 4th? Do we celebrate the 4th on its actual day? Or do we celebrate it on Friday, which is usually the national holiday that they get off? Are the banks open tomorrow? Post office open tomorrow? I'm all confused here. See, this is part of the manipulation we have in our culture and our society anyway. So take a deep breath, Coach. We are not having a show tomorrow. We are not. Tomorrow is the holiday. And out of fairness to our staff and the guys that do all this stuff, I'm not going to make them get up on the holiday and come in and do a show. Hey, I'd be here. I can talk every day, every morning. I can't. We will be here on Monday. Okay, so somebody help me out there. What's the official holiday? Is the post office open tomorrow? Is the post office open? Can somebody help me? Does anybody know? What is the official holiday? Is it the 4th? And by the way, is it the 4th of July or Independence Day? Is Christmas December 25th or is it Christmas Day? It's Thanksgiving. You with me? So when do we celebrate the 4th of July? Well, tomorrow is the 4th of July, but we celebrate on Monday. So somebody help me. What's the official holiday? Vinny, that's right up your alley. What's the official holiday, Vinny? Anybody know? Banks open today? Banks open tomorrow? Banks open Monday? Lord, just let the words of our lips, the meditation of our heart be pleasing in your sight and bring clarity to where we are in Jesus' name. Amen. So nobody knows. Is that why nobody's saying anything? Nobody knows? So anyway, no show tomorrow. Show on Monday. Sky high tonight. Anybody that can make it. Mel's got her hand up. Go ahead, Mel. Help me out.
I just didn't want you to think I knew the answer to your question, so I waited. Hey, I just want to promote a couple of events that are coming up.
Do you know the answer, Mel?
Do we really care? I don't really care, but I mean, we're celebrating tomorrow. I'm off work tomorrow, so I don't know about the banks, but I'm off work tomorrow. So
All right. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Anyway, that's okay. So we've got a couple of events coming up. Spencer, if you could go to the events tab. The first one is the Ecclesia Bible study that Rochelle and I are leading. So the very first one of those happens a week from today. Right. And Spencer, if you'll click on that, I went ahead and put the Zoom link in there. So if you want to join us, Rochelle and I will probably log on a little bit early. It technically starts at 7 o'clock. It'll go 7 to 8 o'clock, depending on, how much discussion that we have. So, but anyway, it's our first one. So we hope that you'll join us. And then the second event I want to promote is the Conquer Series, the Battle Plan for Purity. And this is more of a men's virtual training series that Craig Mickle and a friend of his, I was contacted to kind of promote that.
Yeah, and I think that's really great. Pornography is a beast, man. Pornography.
Yeah, it's a great event for this group because, this is a men's group, really. I mean, we're here to kind of support the men, but Spencer, if you could maybe X out of that one and then just kind of show the one that we're talking about, the Conquer series there. Yeah, the Battle Plan for Purity. So that one starts on the 19th. So, and then of course the action that we're doing right now is, you know, steak dinner. So everybody getting their Bibles one way or the other, either read it or listen to it and, you know, just enjoy the meat versus the milk. So anyway, that's all, Coach. Thank you.
Wow. Thanks, Mel. Well, you know what? I don't want this to sound arrogant, although you'll say, there he goes, patting himself on the back again. I can't believe the ministries that have grown out of what we're doing here. Well, I ought to take it 2 days and just go down and let everybody explain what this program, this gathering, has prompted them to do.
Boom, Coach.
Why? Go ahead. Why? What has motivated Mel to do what she's done, and Craig, Randy, Jeff, and Dave, and I'm going to forget them, see? All kinds of ministries that have sprung up. And that's how I try to defend myself. And when people say, oh, quit following Coach Dave, he's running a cult. I lost my wife. She gets up every morning. She just watches that Coach Dave. Folks, the fruit is unbelievable. Fruit's unbelievable of what's going on in here. And by the way, I was going to talk about that. The fruit of the Spirit. Is there any fruit in your life? You say, well, say, what do you mean fruit? What do you mean fruit? Well, the Bible says you shall know them by their fruit. What is fruit? Apple, orange, lemon, lime, grapes. I could go on. You got any fruit? What's the fruit that you are bearing? You go to church every Sunday, or you have been your whole life, you bearing any fruit? Getting any pruning done at all? That's what we try to do here. Is encourage you to be all God's called you to do. Anybody got anything to say before that? Because I'm going to jump into some really, really good stuff here today. I don't know what you guys thought. I thought yesterday was awesome, man. And I'm going to build off of that a little bit here today. Anybody have anything for the good of the group before I get digging in here? Because I don't want to get 10 minutes into it and then somebody wants to talk about something that happened last week. Anybody?
Coach, I just want to say I agree with you that this show is, God has anointed this show so that people are, you know, like, I've never not been afraid in my life ever. So, and, you know, because when you lose kids and stuff, you tend to get afraid of losing kids. And so anyway, that's just what I wanted to say.
I would hope that every one of you are in here in the morning because of the encouragement that you get in here, not because you're following Coach Dave, not because you're doing this, but because your faith is growing. Your courage is growing. You're becoming more salty. Go ahead, Betty.
Yeah, I'll make it quick. Every Wednesday now, we're going to have an anti-abortion sign waving in different areas. And I got a list, but it's going to be at 7:30. I'm going to miss you, Coach, in the group, but it's going to start at 7:30 in the morning when it's cool and stuff and be out there for 2 or 3 hours. So if anyone...
When is that, Betty? When is that?
Next Wednesday, it's going to be at Elm Grove at the McDonald's. And then every week, it's going to be somewhere different.
So, Betty, what's as my wife would say, what's the burr up your butt that got you doing what you're doing?
I was going to say you.
Wasn't me. It's the Holy Spirit, right?
It was the Holy Spirit, but you got me out of that shell. So,
instead of just complaining about everything, you thought, you know what? I'm going to do something. I think I'm going to do something, right? Folks, this isn't hard. It takes a little bit of courage, but it isn't hard. And well, we live in a time when we need action. We need active Christians, not passive ones.
Well, I was going to say, Coach, that if there's anyone close, if they need a schedule or want to know what's going on, just text me and I'll give it to them.
Thanks, Betty. I got some good stuff I'm going to throw up here on the day. I want to start out this morning. You guys know what the screw tape letters were? Listen, the Bible says that we wrestle not. I hate the way that's worded. I wrestle not. That's so worded wrong. It should say something like, I don't wrestle. It doesn't say I wrestle not, because we do wrestle. I wrestle not against what? I wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against evil spirits of this dark world. Is that Ephesians 6? Is that what that is? See if you can find that real quick, Spencer. Because I really believe that for the most part, we as Christians, we don't live that and we don't understand that. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, for principalities and powers, evil spirits, and high what places, and the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of the strong down, holds casting down imaginations and every high, there it is. Casting down imaginations and every high and lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing it into captivity to the obedience of Christ. There it is. We wrestle not. We do not wrestle. Spencer, bring the Message Bible up. Ephesians, is that Ephesians 12? Message Bible, 6:12. And that about wraps it up. God is strong, and he wants you strong. So take everything the Master has set out for you, well-made weapons of the best materials, and put them to use. But what use? The weapons. The weapons of our warfare, not carnal, but mighty through God. The pulling stuff down. Pulling stuff down is the idea of overthrowing the devil's kingdom, pulling things down. And put them to use so you will be able to stand up to everything the devil throws your way. This is no weekend war that we'll walk away from and forget about in a couple hours. This is for keeps. A life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all of his angels, because they're after your children and your grandchildren. They're playing for keeps. You don't go to church just to feel better, get an emotional charge. Oh, the songs made me feel so good. Well, if they made you feel so good, it's like going to the weight room. You go in the weight room, you work out, come out, you feel good. When you go to church, get your workout at church, you go to the restaurant, eat, leave a $2 tip. I'm gonna move on. I don't have anybody to yell at but you guys. Bear with me. So pull up the screw tape letters. Producer, you wanna say something? Sorry. You guys know this. I don't know if you know the screw tape letter. It's worth it. A lot of these old things are worth it. They're worth a read. Okay. Satan devotes, John Piper as a pastor, said Satan devotes 160 hours a week trying to deceive you. That would be 24 hours a day, wouldn't it? Do you think you can maintain a renewed mind with a 10-minute glance at the Bible every day? I did my Bible reading. That's all I need. Looks like something's good's going over in the chat here. I'll get to that in a minute. So this is a screw tape letters. The devil's letter to his nephew. This was 1942. And how do you manage to bring so many souls to hell at that time? The devil's asking. And he responds, because of fear. Ah, yes. Excellent strategy. Old and always current. Fear is always there. But what are they afraid of? Fear of being tortured? Fear of war? Fear of hunger? No. Fear of getting sick. But then no one else got sick at that time. No? Yeah, they were sick. I'm sorry. No one else was dying? Oh, yeah, they died. But there was no cure for the disease? Oh, there was. Then I don't understand. Scroll down, Spence. Since no one else believed and taught about eternal life and eternal death, they thought they had only this life. And they clung to it with all their strength, even if it cost them their affection. They did not hug or greet each other. They had no human contact for days and days. Their money, they lost their jobs, spent all their savings, and still thought themselves lucky to be prevented from earning their bread. Their intelligence, one day the press said one thing, the next day it contradicted itself, and they believed it all. They lost their freedom. They didn't leave their house, didn't walk, did not visit their relatives. It was a big concentration camp for voluntary prisoners of fear. They accepted everything, everything, as long as they could overcome their miserable lives one more day. They no longer had the slightest idea that he, and only he, is the one who gives life and ends it. It was like that, as easy as it had ever been.
Boom.
That's the boom, isn't it, folks? Manipulation, the fear that we deal with, so much of what's going on. Point number seven. I was thinking about this today. The Bible says that the spirit of the law of life has made me free. I'm sorry. I got it wrong. Come to me. If you're a Christian and you have the Holy Spirit, it tells us in Galatians that the spirit is fruit. Hang on now. I'll pause there on purpose. You're producing fruit. What kind of fruit are you producing? If you're alive, you are producing fruit. But is your fruit the spirit of God or the spirit of the world, the spirit of the age, the spirit of CNN? But the fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Watch this. Against such, there is no law. Do you have any idea how powerful that statement is? If you get the tree of the Spirit of God, it bears fruit. It bears joy, apples, love, lemons, peace, tomatoes. Tomatoes is a fruit, I think, not a vegetable. Peace, grapes. This is supposed to be evidence of your faith in your life. And we know this, that God has not given us a spirit of, God has not given us a spirit of fear. So fear must be a spirit. It must be a spirit. And that's what we just read about there in the screw tape letters. If you turn on the news, it's all about fear. Can I tell you why? Because the Holy Spirit isn't in the news. It's not in the news. The Holy Spirit isn't in the government. The Holy Spirit is supposed to be in the indwelling of his temple, which is us. We are the temple of God. The Holy Spirit is supposed to dwell in us, and out of our temper should flow rivers of living water. The Bible says out of your belly, rivers of living water, which is what? Love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith. You can tell a lot by a person about how they handle trauma. You will find out how deep somebody's faith is when a little bit of trouble comes their way. They start whining and moaning and groaning and, oh, woe is me. Hey, what? Oh, no, 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 no. Meekness and temperance against long-suffering. Ain't no law against any of that, folks. There's no law against any of it. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Where is that? Somebody Google that for me real quick. I'm in a teaching mode. Stay with me a second. The law?
Romans 8:2.
Thanks, John. Romans 8:2. Folks, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's a law. That's a law. Like gravity. That's a law. Like vibration. It's a law. It's a natural law. What? The law of the Spirit of life. There's a law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And that law supersedes any other law, including the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life. See, we talked about that yesterday a little bit, and I'm kind of falling back into it a little bit now. The law, there's a law. The devil sows fear, lies, deception, and fear. His weapons don't change. Now, faith is, where's that? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Folks,
Hebrews 11:1.
Where is that, Mary Beth?
Hebrews 11:1.
Folks, some of you are your own worst enemy. Now, faith, not yesterday faith, not tomorrow faith, right now, faith is substance. Spencer, what is substance? Google that for me real quick. Go to Webster's. What is substance? Because faith is substance. Hey, you ever seen faith in action? Hey, you can see it. You can see it. You can see faith conquer fear. You can see it. Substance, that which has mass and occupies space or matter. So faith has space and matter. It is a force, just like the wind, just like light. Faith is substance. It's a material of a particular kind of constitution. Substance. A drug, a chemical, they mix a substance. The general sense being something existing by itself. Wow. Faith is something that exists by itself. Which really is or exists, equally applicable to matter or spirit. By faith. Go to the Faith Hall of Fame. Go to Hebrews 11 real quick. I'm in teaching mode. Stay with me. Hebrews 11. Now faith is the substance. Evidence. Faith is evidence. You can't say you hate abortion and not do anything about it because there ain't no evidence that you hate it. I'm telling you. Don't tell me how good you are. Show me. I know this about all the guys, all the coaching I did in my life. I didn't have to have some player come and tell me how good he was. I saw it, and damn, he's good. That guy's good. He didn't have to. We call that bragging, don't we? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hang on a minute. Can you put faith in bad? Can you believe something good's going to happen? And can you believe something bad's going to happen? And how many of you live your life of faith knowing something bad's going to happen? Folks, that's substance. That's substance. Bring up the full chapter. Bring it up. Remember, faith is substance. Say it's like water. It's like chocolate. It's like soap. It's a substance. And by that faith, that soap, that chocolate, that By that, we understood the worlds were framed by the word of God, so the things which are seen were not made, the things which do appear. Hey, we didn't make the stars and the sun, and we didn't make trees, and we didn't make grass, and we didn't make rivers and lakes. We didn't make that. And so by faith, we understand somebody did something here. Don't know how this happened. And they're going to teach you in school and teach your children in school that happened through evolution, even though that's the biggest lie ever told. And what? Most of the church believes in evolution. Now, they won't say they do, but they do. Anyway, by faith, Abel offered to God a more sacrifice. Remember, faith is a substance. By faith, Enoch, keep going. By faith, Enoch, Enoch painted something. Enoch put some lemon on something. By faith, Enoch, by faith, it's but without substance, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah being warned of God. By faith, Abraham. Substance. They put feet to their faith. They didn't just talk it. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise. We look for a city whose builder and maker is God. Are you looking for that city? Are you looking for that city whose builder and maker is for God? Azariah. Through faith, Sarah did this. But look at this. They all died in faith. What? Yeah, they all died in faith. They all died believing. Even though they hadn't received the promise. Because what's the promise? Because they've seen it far off. And were persuaded of them and embraced the promises and confessed that they were strangers, pilgrims, that they were just passing through this world, life after this world. They all died in faith, not receiving the promise. Truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came, they might have had an opportunity to return. If they understood the time in which they lived and they stood up and they pushed back and they fought, they might have won right then. By faith, Abraham, go ahead, 17, 18. Go on. It's all through there. By faith, Isaac. By faith, Jacob. By faith, Joseph. By faith, Moses. By faith, Moses. By choosing rather to suffer affliction. He wasn't going to give in because he had the faith to persevere, even though it was going to be hard, and even though it was costing him a lot, he had faith that the builder and maker was God. He had faith of it. By faith, he forsook Egypt. Through faith. How about that? Through faith. Not by faith, but through faith. Actually using the faith. Pass through the Red Sea. Then by faith. You notice that? Through faith and then by faith. Those aren't the same thing. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. By faith, harlot, Rahab. What can I say then? What else can I tell you about? You think you're going through a tough time? Let me tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David. Let me tell you about those boys. They had a rough time too. You know what they did? They subdued kingdoms. They wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. That's what they did with that substance of faith. They quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong. They waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Do you have any idea how many men died in the Revolutionary War and in the Civil War and in World War I and World War II that we can be right where we are today? Have any idea how many died? They turned to flight the armies of the aliens. How? Through faith. Some of them died. Women received their dead raised to life again. Did that really happen? Others were tortured. They wouldn't accept. They wouldn't take the jab. And they got tortured. They said, I ain't going to fall for that. They were looking for a better resurrection. Now, others, they got the crap beat out of them. Cruel mockings, scourgings. Threw them in jail. This ain't new, folks. There ain't nothing new. Some of them were stoned. Some of them were sown in half, sawed in half. Some were tempted, were slain. Whoever told you that God has a wonderful plan for your life was lying to you. Might be wonderful to him, that plan, but it ain't wonderful to you. They were tempted and slain with a sword. They wandered about without any clothes on. They had to wear sheepskins and goatskins. They were destitute. They were afflicted. They were tormented. The world wasn't even worthy of them. They were so supernaturally above the natural life that they didn't, the world didn't deserve them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. They didn't have a house. And these all, having attained a good report through faith, they didn't get anything for it. Why? Because God's providing something better thing for us. They are waiting on us. They, without us, this whole thing can't wind down if we don't do our part. See, faith isn't just believing. Hey, Dale, faith is acting. You against abortion? Yeah. Do you go to the clinic to stop it? No. No. Are you against transgender being taught to your children? Yes, I am. Do you go to the library to stop it? No. Faith without works. It's dead, man. Can I be honest with you? That's what most of us are. That's where most of us are. Yep.
Coach?
Yeah.
And when you do go to the library, you're going to be hated.
That's what it says. You go and you stand up for it. Why? Because we're fighting against the forces of darkness. We don't understand that. It's a war. We wrestle not. Folks, you ever been to a wrestling match? What's a wrestling match look like? One guy's on top, then he reverses, and the other guy's on top. He gets in a headlock. He gets out of the headlock. Huh? We wrestle. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're wrestling against principalities and powers and evil spirits in high places. I'm going to shock you here in a second. Then I'm going to open up. I got a lot more to give you today. Pull up number 8. Hang on. Don't do it. Don't do it yet. I hate Russia. Russia, 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 Russia. I hate Putin. I love Israel. Oh, I hate Putin. I love Israel. Oh, I hate Russia. Oh, I love Israel. Throw it up on the screen, number 8. Putin officially bans Satanism in Russia. Huh? Putin's more Christian than Joe Biden. Putin officially bans Satanism in Russia. Declares the occult a cultural threat to civilization. Hey, Vinny, that'd be about 3 booms.
Boom.
Huh? Folks, what would happen in America if Donald Trump said he's going to ban Satanism? What would happen in America if Donald Trump just said he was going to ban the public celebration of homosexuality? Well, he ain't going to do it. You know why? Because your pastor ain't. Squeaky wheel gets the grease. I'm going to shut up for a minute. Come on in, Dale. Hey, Vinny, somebody out there reinforce me.
Oh, so Coach. Coach,
that was a boom, Coach. That was,
what Coach, you just walk with me. Walk with me here just to affirm and go in a 3-minute, just not even 3 minutes. Okay. That Hebrews chapter 11, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Coach, we lose the definitions in our translation. That word pistis, I've shared it here before. You looked at in the Strong's Concordance when either Paul or whoever is writing the book of Hebrews. It was, you can insert the definition. It is a moral conviction of a man in towards a holy God. The profession, the 3 points, the profession, the belief, the profession, and the walk in it. And the word goes, the same word that we say by faith, we go from now faith to by faith. It becomes an adjective. And the word changes from pistis to pistuo. And pistuo is the action. by faith, these men did something about what they believed in.
Show me your, doesn't it say that? Show me your faith. Doesn't it say somewhere in the scripture? Show me your faith.
Oh, and one more little caveat there, Coach. When you read the word believe in our little King James and in the SBs and NIVs and in our translations, the word believe, you know what it is in Strong's Concordance? Pistis.
How do we get so passive, Dale? How'd the American church get so passive? You understand, friends, that Christians are funding all this evil. What if the American Baptist Association, just using them as an example, is that the largest religious organization in America? I don't know. Let's say they are, the Baptist organization. What if the edict came down this week from the Baptist Pope, whoever that would be, head of the Baptist Church, and said, we now believe that anyone who pays taxes to fund abortion or transgender, we believe you are in mortal sin, and we order you now no more paying of taxes. What would happen? What would happen, folks? Because everything that's going on, the church is funding. The devil has tricked us so badly that he brings in the most wicked anti-Christ behaviors and makes us pay for it. But you're going to go to your church and your pastor, I don't know, is going to tell you that it's your duty and obligation to pay your taxes. If I was in a court of law and some baby was murdered at an abortion clinic, I believe in a court of law, I would be called an accessory to the crime. I paid for it. Willingly. It's deep, isn't it, folks? It's deep. Bible says we have not yet resisted unto death. What would it be like if we absolutely, each one of us, I'm talking to me, opposed all of this wickedness to the point of death? You know what the Bible tells me? I get a martyr's crown. Yeah, martyr's crown. Hey, Spencer, they don't believe me. Look up martyr's crown. Martyr's crown. There's a special crown in heaven for those who lay down their lives. The term martyr's crown refers to a symbolic, reward or honor given to martyrs in Christian tradition, representing their faithfulness and sacrifice. This concept is deeply rooted in biblical and early Christian teachings. The word martyr comes from the Greek word martyrios, meaning witness. And the crown signifies the ultimate victory of faith over death. Wow. Shame on me. I'm so cowardly. Come on in, David.
Kind of ties in with what you're talking about, Coach. It says, I was reading Luke 19. I always read side-by-side versions to make sure I'm getting it all. And Luke 19, verse 45, and I usually read the NASB, and it says, and Jesus entered the temple grounds and began to drive out those who were selling. But in the KJV, there's four words that were left out, and I think they're really important. And them that bought. So does it not show us that it's not just those who were selling, but those of us who were buying as well? That's cast out. So he was casting out us because we're over there buying so that we can take the lamb and sacrifice it and do all of these things.
Mm. David, even worse than that, we're saying, hey, that abortion, hey, put that on my tab.
Yeah.
Put that on my tab. Hey, transgender surgeries, put that on my tab.
Amen, because we are paying for it.
Right? Yes or no, folks? Yes or no? Scroll down a minute. It says in Catholic theology. It caught my eye here. In Catholic theology, the martyr's crown is seen as a special honor, with some traditions suggesting the martyrs receive a unique aureole or halo, signifying their special place in the heavenly realm. Hey, friends, no physical body in heaven. No physical body. That's why you see the saints walking around with halos on their head. The idea is supported by passages like in Revelation 5, where martyrs are described as a royal race of priests. The martyr's crown is a powerful symbol of faith, sacrifice, and eternal reward in Christian tradition. You believe that? Vladimir Putin bans Satanism. Somebody come on in before I get going again. I'm going to go deeper if somebody doesn't come in here and save me.
Well, Coach, let me just understand something. When you're reading the Bible and how it was written, there was no chapters and there were no verses. So when you're ending chapter 11 about this pistis and pistuo, well, you had already said it. And it's affirmed in chapter 1. Now such a great cloud of witnesses that encompass us. All of those that were spoken of in chapter 11 are now in there going, hey, get off your butt and get doing something.
Amen. Well, huh? They told us in church that it's not by works. Do me a favor real quick. Spencer, are you all sitting down? Pull up for me Revelation 21. And talking about heaven, John saw New Jerusalem, and I heard a great voice out of heaven, behold, the tabernacle of God. Number 4, God's going to wipe away all their tears. Number 5, and he that sat upon the throne said, beautiful, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are faithful and true. And then he said unto me, it's done. I'm the Alpha and the beginning and the end, yada, yada. And he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and the unbelieving. By the way, listed before the abominable, before the murderers, and before the whoremongers, and before the sorcerers, and before the idolaters, before the liars, the fearful and the unbelieving who claim to serve Christ are going to find themselves. I'm just reading what it says. They're going to find their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second.
Boom.
You understand that fear causes death. You understand fear. There's a battle in your life over faith and fear. They are mutually exclusive. Faith and fear, fire and water, cannot live together. Faith is the water over fear. We'll say it again. You missed it. Faith is the water hose over fear. And most of us, just have a little trickle, just a little trickle of water, just a little trickle of faith. Then the fire gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and we say, oh, wow, it didn't work. God's not bad. Oh, he says, dude, stand up higher. Turn that hose on harder, dude. Turn the hose on harder, dude. More faith. Because without faith, you ain't putting that fire out. Sorry. Because why? Because faith is substance. Faith is water on fire. Ray.
Well, Coach, that just reversed back to how you started with the screw tape letters. That fear overwhelms you. And perfect love casts out all fear. Courage is the absence of fear. As you put it into practice.
Hang on. Courage is overcoming fear. It's not the absence.
Overcoming. Okay, gotcha. It's
overcoming, yes.
So, but how do you do that? Is you get out there with boots on the ground. When we when you first brought us to the Columbus Gay Parade, that was my first attempt of overcoming fear. My knees were knocking, just like you almost pissed your pants leaving Hillary's place. But being there, that's the absence right there, is just making that step first, getting out there, and then you overcome. That's how you become an overcomer.
That's right.
You just get out there and do it.
Jump in, man. Jump in the water. Said, yeah, there's sharks in there. I know there are. Jump in there, man. You got to jump in there because there's a little baby. There's a little baby. It's going to be eaten by that alligator. If you don't jump in there, dude, you're going to eat it. And you're not going to stand before the Lord and say, I didn't know that's going on. Lord, I didn't know they were killing babies down there. He's going to say, now you're lying. You knew what was going on. You didn't care. Talking to myself. Mark Trump, you were there for a minute, then you're gone. You can come on back in. I'll wait for you.
Well, I was just thinking about the lake of fire, Coach, the lake, the fire and brimstone, the whoremonger, all them people get thrown there. Don't forget, hell and death is also thrown into the lake of fire.
That's right, brother.
So that's not hell. These people are actually going to the lake first before death and hell get thrown into the lake. I mean, there's no time period, or maybe it says they take part in it. Maybe they don't go first, Coach, but I'm telling you, the lake is different than hell. Hell is a staging area, and it's not, I mean, it's got dominion. Who's got dominion over these places, right?
Right.
And faith is about us exercising our dominion on earth while we're here.
Mm.
I mean, it's about us exercising it, acting on it. Like the disciples, they didn't have faith until after Jesus died. Three times the cock crowed until Peter believed. I mean, he was the most bold and courageous one of all. So we That's may right. think we have faith, but we need to really check ourselves and seek Jesus a bit more, because like you said, a trickle might be overstating it, Coach.
Amen. So I was thinking about this, Mark. I was thinking about Craig Mickle, surprisingly or not. Craig's an EMT. Maybe other EMTs out there, but Craig came to mind. And I was driving down the road the other day, and there was an accident. It was on the other side. It was clearly an accident, the emergency squad and all that. And I'm not real good with blood. And that kind of, I'm not cut out to be an EMT. I'm cut out to be a spiritual one, though. Anyway, and I see those guys pull up in those, we'll call them emergency squads, whatever you want to. Do they have any idea what they're about to see? Are you there, Craig? When you get a call and you show up in your emergency squad as an accident, do you have any idea what you're about to face, Craig?
No, that's what kind of intrigued me about the job. Everything's different. Every day is a little different. Although an accident's an accident. Every particular situation had its own peculiar parts. And one of the things that was drilled in our head is adapt and overcome.
Yeah.
And
because Craig, there has to be a time when you walk up to that car and you gasp at what you see, is there not?
Yeah, well, look at those poor guys in Idaho, right? Hey, we're going out to a brush fire. They walk up, they get ambushed.
Yep. That's unbelievable wickedness, isn't it?
Oh, my.
So, folks, look, here's what I'm saying. A lot of us, we don't want to see the carnage. We want to act like that carnage in there. And if, you know, I was a football coach, so when a player went down, I was the first guy on the field to the injured player. You know what I was doing? I was praying for that trainer to get there, man. I didn't want to have to deal with it. I didn't want to see that elbow out of joint. I didn't want to see that knee. I didn't want to see it. And sadly, that's when we're not first responders. We don't want to see it. We'll let Craig handle it. Craig's trained to handle it. This is good this morning, isn't it? This is really good. Come on in, Betty.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a quick comment on this verse. It is your free will of choice. So it's your choice to pick fear or to pick faith.
Amen. Betty, look at that, the fearful and the unbelieving. By the way, That's almost the same thing. You are fearful because you don't believe. And somebody somewhere along the line told you that God has a wonderful plan for your life. What does that mean? Wonderful in whose eyes? Doesn't the Bible say, somebody help me out here? I'm just, beautiful in the sight of the Lord is the death of his martyrs. Doesn't it say that somewhere? Somebody help me out. You want to be beautiful in the eyes of the Lord? Lay it all on the line.
Coach, that's 116, Psalm 116, 15, and that was the verse that I clung to when my son died. Because it says precious in the sight. 116, 15.
116.
So that
precious in the sight of the Lord.
Sight of the Lord or the death of his loved ones.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what it says in Ecclesiastes 7. Ecclesiastes 7, pull that up real quick. I'm not trying to be morbid today. I hope you're receiving this in the right spirit. A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day you die is better than the day you're born. You believe that? Huh? What the heck? Why? Because the Psalms are helping us see it through the Lord's eye. You get to come home. You get to come home. He's happy you're coming home. You've endured to the end. And now you're coming home. Wow. Wow. What a perspective. I was thinking about this guy. I want to be sensitive here. I told you about a friend who had whose father had a tree fall on him. I told you that, right? Tree fall on him. Killed him. And I've been thinking the last couple of days, what were his thoughts? He was a godly, God-fearing, Bible-loving, Jesus-loving man on his way to heaven. What were his thoughts, I wonder? When he laid there and knew the inevitability of what had just happened to him. Realizing he was about to be promoted. Leaving all this other stuff behind, he got promoted. I wonder if I could lay there in a situation like that and have that be my attitude. Rather than, soul, save me, Lord, all glory to him. No, Lord, take me home if that's what you want to do with me. I pass go. I'm ready for $200. Thank you, Lord. Jeff Klein, go ahead. I'm sorry I'm all over the place, but you're feeling it today, aren't you? Go ahead, Jeff.
Coach, you're talking about the paramedic on the scene and your football players and they get hurt. You never know what you're going to come up on.
No, you don't know.
Right there in front of my car lot. You know where it is, right there to the Speedway gas station, the light just down the road, a couple hundred feet there. We're standing out there last summer and mom and dad, two young girls, 10 and 12 years old, whole family stand right there in the front looking at the car. And all of a sudden we look up. And there's a guy on low, like a moped scooter, laying underneath the front of a dump truck, moving down the road. And this old guy is pinned under the front bumper, almost to the front axle. And he's looking at us. I could see, I'll never forget the look on his face. He's looking around. His eyeballs were great big. Old white-haired guy, about 65.
Underneath a garbage truck being dragged down the road.
Yeah. And the guy in the dump truck had no idea he was under there. And the girls and the families all screaming. I mean, they're screaming bloody murder in my front yard, right there by the road, just screaming. So all of a sudden I look up, this guy is grabbing the next gear, smoke pouring out the exhaust, and he grabs the next gear. And then because the light turned green right down the road. And we're chasing this dump truck down the road, me and the dad. We get down there. And finally, after dragging him all the way down there, it spits him out the back. He went clear under. I mean, this guy, his body was so ripped up. It was horrible. And I'm screaming, somebody bring me a sheet or blanket, something. Now I got to cover this guy up and pronounce him dead. Here comes Mark, my mechanic. He's running down the road, and he can't hardly run. And he's bringing me a sheet. people were coming out everywhere at the gas station, the traffic light. Everybody stopped. People had their phones out wanting to video this stuff and take pictures. And so here I am covering this guy up. And I'm like, please, paramedics, hurry up and get here. Please, hurry up and get it. Nobody's there yet. I can hear the sirens off across town coming. And I looked over and the dump truck guy gets out. And this guy's walking in circles over on the sidewalk. He just devastated. So then I go over and I get the opportunity to find out this guy's a Christian. And dumb question, you know what you see? You say dumb things sometimes. I looked at the guy and said, buddy, you all right? Oh, what a dumb question. You know, I didn't, but what do you say? He just started freaking out and crying. No, he said, I just killed a man. So I ended up having prayer with him. Cops come up, and the cops are all, I seen them. When I looked down, I had my head bowed and I'm praying with this guy because nobody's talking to him. He's over there just flipped out. I looked down, the feet all around me. It was the detectives, the cops, everybody circled around us. And, you know, they didn't stop me. And I just had a short little 1 minute, 2 minute prayer with this guy. Then they pulled me aside after and said, JC, can't be talking to him. This is an investigation now.
So Jeff, I'm running out. Short on time. So folks, imagine that we had the spirit eyes to see the wounding of the people that we come in contact with. Jeff got to see it physically. Can you imagine if we could really see in the spirit the wounds on some of these people that we deal with every day? It would be horrifying. We ask ourselves, why does he act like that? Because he's freaking bleeding. That's why. Hurt people hurt people. Mary Beth.
One more thing about my son, because when he died, he was afraid. I mean, he didn't know what was going on, so he obviously was afraid, and he did say a swear. But, I mean, then after that, there was no look of horror or anything, and I just know he's with the Lord. So, but, yeah, I mean, people are afraid because they of the unknown, you know.
Yeah, and anyway, amen. I can't imagine how horrific it is, Mary Beth. And you carry that every...
Yeah, I can talk about all that stuff now, but then, you know...
You can talk about it, but they don't change it. They don't change it. Dale?
I want to talk much about that works and non-works, but, you know, those two passages of Scripture in Ecclesiastes 7 and Psalms 117:16, you know, precious in the sight of the Lord. It's precious in the sight of the Lord. But in Ecclesiastes, is better than the day of your death than the day of your birth, because one of them is you become precious. The other one is finally we get the dead weight out of the way. Let's get somebody else here to do something.
That's true. House cleaning, huh? Yeah, house cleaning. Hey, look, we live in unbelievable times, folks. I mean, I don't want to get caught into theology, and, you know, I don't want to dive into that. There's something really, really going on then. Something, the clash of two kingdoms. It's really happening right in front. I have so much stuff I didn't get here today to show you. Maybe, well, no show tomorrow, so I can't do it tomorrow. But here on the 4th of July, Independence Day. Think what it costs so many people. And how cavalierly you take it. You wonder if you would go, you're able to go back in time and walk on the beaches of Normandy and look at those men blown to bits who gave it all. For the advancement of a kingdom. That's what it was about back then, right? That was when America was still somewhat a Christian nation, for the advancement of righteousness, not the advancement of a government, not the advancement of a political party, but an advancement of the kingdom of God. Occupy till I come, he said. And we haven't. 4th of July, Independence Day. We're not very independent, are we? Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday morning, bright and early.